You are listening to the Political Periscope, a weekly podcast brought to you by Radio WNET. Interviews on international politics, security, geopolitics, economy, and more. Every Thursday at 7 p.m.
Today's guest of the Political Periscope is Besnik Bislimi, the first Deputy Prime Minister of the Republic of Kosovo in charge of European integration, development, and dialogue.
Political Periscope.
Just outside the government building, I've seen a monument dedicated to the 9/11, the World Trade Center tragedy in United States. I also know that in Pristina there is an American museum. You are very pro-American here in Kosovo.
It could be that we are maybe the most pro-American country in the world. We are forever thankful to what United States as a leader country during 1999 has done to save the citizens of Kosovo. If you remember, we had not only a series of massacres here, but also we had more than 1 million people deported from Kosovo. And the country that we have today would have not been probably possible in the shape we have today without the strong support of NATO under the US leadership.
In Poland, there are also those pro-American sympathies, maybe not so strong. I'm certainly not so strong. But we also, in some part of society, have pro-Russian sympathies. Are there such tendencies in Kosovo?
There was never a sympathy for Russia here in Kosovo, historically, and especially there is not now. You know that Russia did not recognize the independence of Kosovo in 2008. They even threatened to block any tentative for membership at the UN. Hence, they've proven that they don't want to be one of our partners. And Kosovars usually, historically, were always oriented toward the West.
Russia supports Serbia. How are the relations with Serbia today?
Our relations or Russia's relations?
Kosovan relations.
Well, on the political aspect, we have almost zero communication at the interstate level. We have only the dialogue process that is run in Brussels, where either the heads of state meet or chief negotiators and discuss relevant issues. However, at the economy, there is still some cooperation. Unfortunately, it's only one-sided, where Serbia exports more towards Kosovo, but there is a series of non-tariff barriers that Serbia imposes to Kosovar exporters, making it very difficult, if not impossible, to export there.
And how it looks on everyday level, there is still a small Serbian minority living here. Serbian is one of official languages of Kosovo, along with Albanian, of course, the language of the majority. And may I go here to, I don't know, public office and do my stuff that I need to do in Serbian?
Well, there are two official languages in Kosovo, Albanian and Serbian, and in municipalities, where one other minority has more than 5% of the total count, then that language also becomes official language, which means that you may have right to access the public services in your language. It is not always possible to facilitate. This happens both directions. For example, when I go to Gračanica, it's a municipality with a Serbian majority, it can be that I cannot get my services even at the language of the majority. But this has more to do with the lack of financial capacities to support enough translators. But otherwise, we have little problems in communication because most of the citizens of older age speak both languages, and most of the services are at the local level where the language is official language and they get all the services in their language. But sometimes it can be that if you want to access an information rightly, for example, at the national level, it might take some time until documents are translated in all languages. Draft laws are automatically translated before their adoption in Albanian, in German, English, and Serbian language. However, for example, some of the decisions that tax authorities make or custom authorities take some time until you can see also the Serbian version on the website. We have here one advisor to the prime minister that deals with communities issues. She's trying to pull together a group of translators that will make possible faster translation of all relevant documents.
You've said there is a lack of funds for translators at like some levels. However, I have to admit, coming to Kosovo, I didn't expect such roads, so many new buildings. How do you do it?
Well, there is lack of funds for everything because our GDP is 9 billion euros. And out of this, the state budget is less than 3 billion. When you try to see how much of it goes for regular expenditures like wages and salaries, how much goes to municipalities, how much to public infrastructure, then there is a small amount of money. In addition, we have then ceilings for the employment in the public sector, which means that sometimes you might not even have people that deal with the EU integration process in one of the line ministries simply because of the lack of capacities. We have to make sure that the wage bill at the public sector does not exceed a given threshold to make sure that the budget is sustainable also in the longer term. But in the past, we were able to invest in some of the key infrastructure projects like highways, but it's not that you can see similar progress also in other areas.
And so all the new houses, the Pristina seems to be growing fast.
Well, I think Pristina is one of the fastest growing cities in the Southeast Europe, but this is mainly private capital. And this has been made possible because there was a mobilization of capital both in Kosovo, but also from Albania. And in addition, these projects are continually facing enough demand also from our diaspora, and this is feeding in and supporting a fast growth. We would want to see fast growth, but also better structured, but still growth is growth.
Growth. 10.7% economic growth.
In real terms.
How is it possible in such a small country, in such difficult situation?
Well, growth does not depend on the size. It depends on the composition of output. It depends on the entrepreneurial skills of your population. It depends also on the opportunities that are offered there. So Kosovo benefits to a large extent for large remittances from the diaspora. And it also benefits from the age structure of the population. The recent problems in the transport routes from East Asia has created a new opportunity for exports from the region. In only 1 year, we managed to increase our exports by more than 67%, which then helped also generate this growth. So we have several sources, and then we had to intervene with the fiscal package. We could support a shift in the aggregate demand with the transfers of the government, because when we give transfers from the government, it usually goes to more vulnerable groups, and more vulnerable groups typically consume domestic products, and this gave another impetus to the domestic production. Hence, we had this 10.7%. Maybe a small fraction of it is also a result of our successful efforts to formalize formerly informal economy. But we believe that 10.7 is good, but potential is for even more and for a longer period of time.
Some American help, some EU help?
Well, we had continuous support from Europe with IPA funds, instruments of pre-accession. However, in total, this amount is relatively small, so that in growth accounting, you can expose this as a major source of growth. But we have a relatively high private consumption. We have high investment from diaspora and remittances, and also the design of government policies. For example, in the report that will be published next week from the European Commission, it says clearly that Kosovo showed a high fiscal prudence in the last year. And fiscal prudence is alpha and omega for sound macroeconomic policies and also for healthy response from the business community to this. Once businesses see more confidence, more sustainability, they will pay back with more investments and larger growth and production. And you should not forget that due to the pandemic, some of the elements in the chain of production were harmed. That's why we had to arrange domestic production for this, and this further helped the output.
Maybe a difficult question. United States helps different people in the world because of course, the values they share, but usually it's somehow connected to their interests. What are American interests in Kosovo? Why do they care so much?
Well, we would want to say that American interests in Kosovo are in complete alliance with the interests of our country. They want to see peace and stability in the region. They see Kosovo currently as an exporter of stability and peace for the region. They see in Kosovo a strong ally, and they will want to promote strong democracies here. Kosovo has the most vibrant democracy in the region. It had the best elections in the Western Balkans. And of course, you want to use this as an example also for the region. For example, last year, as the United States was involved in the resettlement of Afghan refugees, Kosovo was the first country to help directly, and almost 1,800 Afghan resettlers used Kosovo as a transit route toward the United States. This was done in strong coordination with the government of Kosovo. So this is a strong partnership that goes beyond daily politics. It was well maintained by every government in Kosovo, no matter if it is right-wing or left-wing government. When it comes to the United States, we are unified in our approach, and we believe that U.S. has always taken the right approach, not only in Kosovo, but in the world region here.
Speaking about refugees, there is war in Ukraine. There are refugees going out of the country. What's Kosovo's stance on this topic?
First, at the political level, from the very beginning, we completely aligned our foreign policy with that of the European Union. There was no question, no dilemmas here. But as a region, it was not that we always reacted unified. There were some countries, or there are still countries, that do not want to impose sanctions on Russia, do not want to align their foreign policy. In Kosovo, this was not a question at all. We recognize the fact that usually in such conflicts, countries in the neighborhood take the biggest burden. In this case, the biggest number of refugees went to Poland, Czech Republic, Slovakia, and Hungary. But also Kosovo wanted to be part of this unified approach. So we offered shelter for 5,000 refugees, and also we allocated some funds to shelter some of the Ukrainian journalists. And as a first step, we decided to remove the visa regime with Ukraine temporarily so that these refugees can easily travel to Kosovo. Of course, if you are a refugee from Ukraine, you will either choose the first possible option, which will be the neighbors, or if not, then you would want to go to family members further towards EU. But even if we know that maybe Kosovo will not be attractive from that perspective, we wanted to show them our willingness to help people in need. Kosovo experienced this 20 years ago. All countries in the region helped us a lot. We had a large number of refugees in Albania, a large number of our refugees in North Macedonia, and also Montenegro. And then we fortunately also enjoyed big support from Western democracies and United States and Canada, with a huge number of refugees that were temporary settled in their countries. So now we see as an obligation, automatic obligation, to help whenever we see refugees in need. So we hope really that this unity of European Union will continue, because we believe that it will be very, very dangerous if such initiatives of Russia or such tendencies will end up being successful in Ukraine. So then there will be further risk for the Western democracies. We also believe that at this point, Russia has a strong interest to create points of destruction. And Kosovo is also one potential source for tensions, because our neighbor is Serbia, and Bosnia-Herzegovina has the same problem, Montenegro. And that's why we are very cautious. And that's why we have asked NATO to come with some additional reserve troops here, to make sure that we send the right signal to Belgrade not to be manipulated by Russia and start any tension in the region.
But at the same time, Russia is using Kosovo as a pretext to acknowledge the independence of so-called People's Republic in Lugansk and Donetsk.
Well, it is an argument that actually is harming the Russia-Serbia relationship, because it's showing to Serbia that not necessarily they will protect the view that Kosovo cannot be independent. We know for sure that there is no single correlation between these two cases. In the case of Kosovo, genocide was done by the government of this country. So Kosovo was part of Serbia when genocide happened in Luhansk and Crimea. There is no genocide from Russia, but there are crimes from... There is no genocide from Ukraine, but there are crimes from Russia. Hence, these two cases cannot be compared at all.
I've seen many flags waving around in Kosovo, some of them Kosovians, but most of them Albanians. Why?
I don't know where you saw these flags, but Kosovo is populated with 94% Albanians. So we live in Kosovo, but we are Albanians. Naturally, our flag for centuries was and is the flag of Albania. This is the national flag. The flag of Kosovo is the state flag, because there is no nation of Kosovars. We respect the flag, but the national flag of Kosovars is the Albanian flag. That's why it's normal to see this everywhere, especially when we celebrate, let's say, occasions like marriages and others. People tend to use the national flag.
What are the relations between Kosovo and Poland?
Poland was one of the first countries to recognize the independence of Kosovo. I think it was the 10th country of the European Union to recognize Kosovo. And the recognition came 9 days after we declared independence. The relationships at the political level did not flourish always, but this was only because of the internal dynamics in the Polish government or the stances of the former Polish president. But at this point, I think we have excellent relationships with your country and also with the parliament. We had recently a visit of the Deputy Minister of Foreign Affairs of Poland here in Kosovo. We are trying to intensify also the economic cooperation. As you have been aware, we started this year with seasonal flights, direct flights from Poland, from Warsaw to Pristina, with, I think, the name of the company is LOT, which in Polish means flight or something like that. We hope to use this as a potential for intensifying the visits of Polish tourists to Kosovo, because Kosovo offers very good options for hiking and winter holidays. We have a small number of Polish companies that have invested in Kosovo. We have tried to increase our exports to Poland, but I think it's a small, negligible amount of your total imports. If you look at the total imports of Poland, that goes well beyond 220 billion euros. Kosovo's share is less than 6 million or something like that. But our imports from Poland are much higher, so I think are 10 times higher than our exports, which shows for potential for stronger cooperation. The amount of FDIs from Poland is relatively small. As far as I know, we have less than 15 companies with Polish ownership in Kosovo. But I am also aware that there is strong interest of some Polish businessmen to come and invest in Kosovo, for example, in the energy sector, in the mining sector, in the textile sector. And at the state level, there is an interest of Poland to support the security sector in Kosovo, like the Minister of Internal Affairs and others. It's far from the objective, which means that there is a lot to be done. So we will want to intensify this and also facilitate by bilateral agreements, let's say avoiding double taxation or creating joint committees of trade promotions and others, but it's still yet to come. Maybe one of the obstacles was that we did not have direct representations in respective countries. Poland covers Kosovo from the embassy in Skopje, in North Macedonia. We cover Poland from our office in Prague, in the Czech Republic. On our side, there is interest to have offices in Warsaw and in Pristina. And I hope that relatively soon we can announce something positive in this direction.
You said that there are some, few, but some foreign direct investments of Poland in Kosovo, what are the fastest and most important sectors of Kosovian economy?
Fastest growing, you mean? Yes. Fastest growing sector here is IT sector. There are several subsectors in the IT. Kosovo has naturally the comparative advantage given the age structure of the population. We have by far the youngest population in Europe, which is conducive then to a stronger development in the IT sector. But we also see huge growth in the wood processing industry. There is a shortage of these goods in the European Union. And traditionally, European Union was the main trading partner in addition to the region here. For Kosovo, the main trading partners are Macedonia, Albania, Turkey, and the European Union. Then, hence, with the visa liberalization and others, which it will be easier to go and visit your counterparts there, I think there will be an increased volume of investments in Kosovo in these sectors. If I'm not wrong, the IT sector exports around 90% of its product, most of it to US, but also Germany, Switzerland, and others. But we see much more potential in this sector also for other countries. For example, a country with a low unemployment like Poland might see it profitable to relocate part of their businesses here because of the abundance of labor force. This could be either to support the production of goods that Poland usually exports, like textile, machinery, cars, and others, food, but it could also be for the production of those goods that you need in your country and you import. So we see already an increased interest for companies from Czech Republic to come here. We will want to also experience a stronger involvement of Polish business community in Kosovo.
Last question. What are the perspectives of European and Euro-Atlantic integration for Kosovo?
Kosovo signed in 2015 a SAE agreement with the European Union, the Stabilization and Association Agreement. The fact that the five non-recognizers, Spain, Slovakia, Romania, Cyprus, and Greece, allowed or supported Kosovo signing this document means that despite their internal contexts, they still support the EU path for Kosovo. 2022 is particularly relevant in this context because we have sent our application for the Council of Europe on May 12th. We will have the discussion on visa liberalization next week on Thursday. And we plan to apply for the membership status by the end of this year.
This was the Political Periscope.
Kosovo is the only country
is released every Thursday
in
at 7
Europe,
p.m.
if it depends on how we define Europe, let's say west of Russia, that still doesn't have the visa-free regime and still does not have the membership status, if we exclude Belarus, of course, because of the lack of interest. So hence, we believe that this process is not complete also without granting the visa-free regime to Kosovo and also giving Kosovo the membership status. We believe that at this point, we are better on our EU path than any other country in the Western Balkan Six when they applied for the membership status. And we also believe that the current country report that will be published next week on Wednesday will show that Kosovo is accelerating faster than any country in the Europe in implementing EU reforms. This means that once we have the membership status, we can easily move faster on this EU integration than any other country that currently is in this group of potential members.
Some words for Polish listeners?
Well, what is important for them is to know that Kosovo is a beautiful country. It's a very friendly country. Every tourist that comes to Kosovo says that the hospitality here is better than in any country in Europe, and we offer excellent food, excellent hiking routes, and a youth that is probably not compared to any in the region. So use this opportunity and come and visit our country.
This was the Political Periscope. The podcast is released every Thursday at 7 p.m.